This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Yes, we can.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this Wednesday morning. In the hours before Barack Obama was named president-elect, we saw record voter turnouts across America and a message of hope from U.S. investors. The Dow soared more than 3% yesterday, about 300 points. It was the first election day gain of more than 1% since Ronald Reagan was elected to a second term in 1984. Then today, a major rally in Asian stock markets. Japan, Hong Kong, Shanghai, all up 3 to 4%. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us from Shanghai. Scott, how much can we read into today's Asian stock rally?
I wouldn't read too much into it, Bill. After all, we've seen so much volatility in this side of the world as well as yours. If anything, some of the traders say this is a relief rally.
Now, Scott, during the campaign, Obama criticized China for manipulating its currency to keep its exports artificially cheap here in the States. And Obama has also said he would consider restricting Chinese textile imports. How did China's leaders react to those statements?
Well, I spoke with some advisors in Beijing to the central government, and basically, Beijing is not very worried about this. First of all, these threats emanate from Washington periodically, so none of this is new. And they also know this is a political campaign. This is political rhetoric that's largely meant for domestic political consumption in the United States. And they're betting that it's not going to happen.
What about the other way around? China, of course, holds a lot of U.S. debt. How much does an Obama White House have to fear from China?
Well, the spooky scenario is China takes that debt, which is somewhere around $1 trillion in loans to the U.S., and it dumps them. And the U.S. dollar spirals downward, and all kinds of bad things happen after that. Well, most serious thinkers discount that possibility. Now, why? Because China's the investor here. If it dumps its investments, the value plummets, it loses a whole lot of money there. Washington needs Beijing to keep financing its deficit, to keep producing low-cost things to keep inflation down. And China needs the U.S. to turn its economy around so the U.S. consumer returns, and then export-led economies, export-dependent economies like China and the others in this part of the world, they can return too.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Shanghai. Thank you, Scott.
Okay, Bill. Thank you.
As you heard there, President-elect Obama will be catching the fallout from the global financial crisis. Debt held by China is only one of many issues that'll face the Department of the Treasury. Marketplace's Steve Henn is in Washington. Steve, as the new president chooses his team, all eyes are on the choice of Treasury Secretary.
Well, that's absolutely right. And I think because of that, lots of people in the press and many market players are going to expect the Obama administration to move very quickly in making some announcements about who will lead their economic team.
Who is President-elect Obama looking at for this post, and what does he want from that person?
Well, it's tough to know exactly who the choice will be, but there are three names that have gotten a lot of attention recently. Larry Summers, the former Treasury Secretary under the Clinton administration, Paul Volcker, who was the head of the Federal Reserve before Alan Greenspan, and then Timothy Geithner, who is the head of the New York Fed, which has played a huge role in managing this crisis. And before he was there, he was at the Treasury Department for years. And although he's never had a high-profile job on Wall Street in the private sector, he's well-known there and well-liked.
Whoever is the new Treasury Secretary, give us an idea what is going to be on that person's plate.
Well, the to-do list for the Treasury Secretary is going to be enormous. The financial crisis has already bled over into the real economy in powerful and pretty ugly ways. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on Obama's administration generally to get the economy moving again. And there's going to be a lot of pressure to do that as efficiently as possible.
Marketplace's Steve Henn in Washington. Steve, thank you.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. By Shriners Hospitals for Children, providing treatment for orthopedic, burn, and spinal cord injuries at no cost to the families. More at ShrinersForKids.org. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Barack Obama has only been president-elect for a few hours, and already the advice is pouring in. Here's commentator Will Wilkinson with his.
Congratulations, Barack Obama. You're the next president of the United States. Sadly, the government's so broke that even new curtains for the Oval Office are beyond the bounds of fiscal responsibility. Thanks to the war, the Wall Street bailout, the lousy economy, and the drop in tax revenue, your big campaign plans just got a lot smaller. Here's my advice. First, you've got to get spending under control. Yes, bring the troops home and shrink the military. But there's enormous waste in the non-defense budget, too, and you need to go after it. You said we need to cut spending with a scalpel, not a hatchet. Well, if you don't want to leave your kids with a crushing tax burden, you better get yourself a crate of scalpels. Second, drop the xenophobic claptrap. The stuff from the debates about mortgaging our future by borrowing from the Chinese to pay the Saudis has got to stop. We are not and cannot be a self-contained fortress city. It's good that capital markets are international. It's good that energy markets are international. It's good for prosperity and good for peace that we're all in it together. Help save America's economy by making it even more open to the goods and people of the world. Third, get real on the new energy economy. You've been claiming that the government can simultaneously create millions of new jobs, spur growth-enhancing innovation, and save the earth by politically picking winners among energy companies. It's a beautiful dream, but in reality it means nothing more than the greening of corporate welfare and an increase in energy prices. Our struggling economy can't afford that. You've got Congress on your side and the wind of public opinion at your back, which is exactly why you should take it slow. This election was exactly what you said it was, a referendum on the last 8 years of George W. Bush and his coalition. The voters agreed it was time to throw the bums out. But if you overreach, you'll be tomorrow's bum. Remember how popular Newt Gingrich's Contract for America was? Yeah, me neither.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. Find a link to his blog at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy the day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.